You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 38 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dion Morales, and I am joined by the unfazed one, Marcel Manzano.
Nothing bothers me.
Chatter, Nate Moore.
Have you let the dice app into your life?
You broke me. Our targeting coordinator, Andrea Longhi.
What's up, guys?
And gold leader, Ron Longhi.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, all right. Whew. Yes. Yes, I have let the dice app into my life. Thank you, Nate. All right, so quick Patreon update. I am sitting next to the last, 30 envelopes I have to send away. Things are in the mail, so you should be expecting them here soon. So check your mail with bated breath, and your three-card set should be arriving soon.
Unlock the holocron.
All right, guys, so we've gotten to the meat of the show. We're going to talk about the FAQ. Now, before we go in, I have a little bit of speculation I want to talk about. So originally, when the FAQ was released, the date, the effective date listed on there was not the current one, which is listed, which says August 5th or so, not August, excuse me, November 5th or something like that. It said July 24th on there. And I found that just really interesting because, as we know, a couple months back, on July 27th, somebody, a very naughty person, went and leaked some information that they thought, or some confidential information from FFG regarding a fact coming out. And then we got this big delay in the release of the FAQ. I don't know if that necessarily directly impacted them or how that happened, but I think it's just kind of interesting timing. What do you guys think about that?
Maybe they're just petty about it. It's like, oh, you're going to go and spoil this for us? Now we're going to make you wait.
I think they did. They did try to do a little kind of PR, for lack of a better word, damage control and holding it up for a while, and they probably wanted to tweak it a little bit just to break a little bit of the, how credible those future leaks might be, and also to maybe discourage them. But I think ultimately it ended up working out fine, because if they held it out, if they would have released that FAQ right at that point, the likelihood that we also get a Biggs, or because Biggs wasn't mentioned on there, and I think it would have been mentioned because they mentioned all the biggest ones, the Biggs, the Genius, and the Advanced. I don't know what was the event. Yeah, the Advanced line was already part of it. But at least the Genius and the Biggs would not have been part of it. So I think it, at the end of the day, it worked out. But I don't agree with it. I mean, you signed the contract. It's legal. We are the community of X-Wing players. We consider ourselves to be upfront people, people who honor our word, people who are good people. And that's kind of a douche thing. Good people don't do that kind of stuff, so I think it just looks bad on the community as a whole to kind of go behind the back of the developers and do something that is, in my opinion, self-serving. Whoever leaked that didn't leak it for the good of the community. They leaked it for their own benefit.
There you go. And just as I was doing a little sleuthing, looking back at what they had posted, that Reddit account has been deleted, obviously, because they got some pretty major backlash. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. I just thought that was an interesting note that nobody has been talking about there, just looking at how those dates line up. So let's take a look at our FAQ. We're not going to read down every single thing, word for word. We're basically going to look at what the changes were and explain what is different rather than trying to read it word for word.
Dion, so, people have come here for rhetoric and text. They want to hear every word of, no, I'm just messing. Of course they don't want to hear that.
Not today. Sometimes they do, but not today.
There's for not those, a lot of red in this FAQ, so it might take a while.
I love red text.
And for you beautiful people at home, we actually did have this episode yesterday, but we lost it. So we're doing it again because we love you guys. Okay.
Because someone forgot to hit the record button.
Hey, I hit the record button. It just stopped, okay?
Wait, that actually happens?
Yes, it happened. I don't know why it happened, but it happened. And we're still currently recording, so that's good. Let's keep going. Right. So we're going to start at the end of the FAQ and scroll up. So if everybody open up your FAQ class, page 23 is where we're going to be starting.
Put on teacher voice.
That's right.
What the okay level is this? Ha, teacher jokes.
Yep. So the first thing they add to the literal question and answer section, asking about bombs detonating and when does the effect of a bomb happen, and specifically it like the range of bombs, not the range of the range of the effects specifically. It happens after the final position of the ship. So pretty simple one there. Discarding and removing tokens mean the same thing. And then we start getting into some of the meat here. Marcel, you want to go ahead and break down special ops training?
Sure. So special ops training basically says that when you choose to use the title to roll three dice out of the front, that's the choice you make. When you use the title to try to roll both out of the front and the back, the title triggers after your front shot. Therefore, you can take the back shot after. If you choose to take the back shot first, you completely eliminate the use of the title, and you cannot shoot out of the front anymore because it only triggers off of a front shot. When it matters is if you have a ship with fire control system, for example, and you try to shoot the ship behind you with the target lock and try to take that ship out and then shoot the front one next so you can have the target lock moving forward for the next round, that doesn't work. You have to shoot the front first without a target lock and then not get the target lock and try to kill the ship behind you later. Is really the what they're trying to clarify here.
Now, Marcel, what happens if you use that attack on the same ship?
Then it doesn't matter because you shoot. Well, I guess it does matter. You have to call it shooting out of the
front. No, I'm just calling back to like the fair game like a match when that got like used like in the most brutalist fashion.
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah.
When your ghost destroyed? Died at 13 health.
In 13 one damage round. From one chip.
Okay. No, I blocked that out of my memory. I completely forgot. We talked about it when it happened, and it deleted.
Alrighty. So let's move on. Ron, what about targeting synchronizer? So basically targeting synchronizer, from what I can see here, they're just cleaning up and the understanding of the way the way this card works. There's a lot of text on the card already, and they like triple the text adding to the FAQ, basically saying, understanding that a target lock still has to be present when you're using the targeting synchronizer, and it still has to be spent. It's going to be off the ship that has targeting synchronizer if you have another ship at range 1-2 when you're trying to use it, but the cost is still there. Andrea, what about R5P9?
R5P9 is basically FFG iterating the fact that you cannot recover a shield in excess of your shield value, but in addition to that, you can't also trigger an ability that would require you to gain a shield value in excess of your shield value. So you can't spend the focus token to trigger some kind of an ability or regain the shield, even though you can't legally regain it, to trigger some kind of ability. You can't choose to trigger an ability even though you can't actually gain the shield back.
Yeah, and if there's ever a card in the future that says, like, you need to spend the focus, you wouldn't be able to use R5P9 if you have full shields in order to spend the focus to trigger something else that, you know, combos off of that or whatever. So,
and it'll also be in effect for the next one that's on here, which is the Pulse Ray Shield. It's iterating the same thing. You can't trigger the ability of giving the ion if you can't actually recover a shield legally.
Mm-hmm. And Ron, what about Pattern Analyzer?
Pattern Analyzer is just a clarification, really. It's just saying that Pattern Analyzer works like the card says it works. After you perform a maneuver, going through like debris, you can still perform your action, then you get your stress.
Yep, pretty easy peasy there.
And I think it also Does it also do the, it clarifies that it works like advanced sensors in that you can push the limit off of it and still clear the stress after the green maneuver?
I don't see it stating that clearly, but that is exactly how it should work.
Mm-hmm. I've had some people try to use this in a weird way where they did like a green maneuver through debris and they're able to say they're able to clear their stress.
Well, that's why that's one of the reasons for this clarification is to say no. That's not how it works. You still get the stress.
It says right there in the second paragraph, it says, if a ship uses pattern analyzer and then overlaps a debris cloud, the ship moves, performs the resolves the perform action step, rolls for damage, resolves the check pilot stress, then receive one stress token.
Yeah, so the last thing you do is receive the stress.
Nate, take a look at Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt. Any ship that has illicit token can use it as described on the Jabba the Hutt card. That ship may discard an illicit token from a card instead of discarding the card. Illicit tokens can be spent for their effect even if the ship with Jabba the Hutt equipped is destroyed. Basically, if Jabba goes down, you still have your extra munitions or extra illicits. That's it. Not that, you know, all those Jabba the Hutt players are really worried about that. How many Jabba the Hutt players do we have in our team?
None. Well, you saw it on the forums a lot. Like, oh, this card doesn't work. And, you know, I get it. They basically just took the exact text from Extra Munitions and copy-pasted it and made it for illicits. And it just wasn't clear, like, because it goes on all the ships, what happens if Jabba isn't there anymore. Anyway, we figured it out.
Because he's a crime lord. He gives you extra cash. So you have cash in your pocket. You can spend it on whatever.
There you go. Do you like that fluff? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I
like
love it.
So Minefield Mapper just got a clarification in that a Punisher cannot drop 6 sets of cluster mines on the first, you know, opening turn here. Basically, the way it works is that per bomb upgrade that you have equipped, you have a single instance for Minefield Mapper. So if you have 2 bombs equipped plus extra munitions, if you want a Minefield Mapper, you can only put out 2 of the bombs. You can remove the extra munitions token instead of discarding the bomb and having those bombs for later, but you can't discard the extra munitions token and the cards and get double, is what you cannot do. So that's the clarification. I did post a flowchart of how I believe this worked when it first came out, because people were trying to, you know, do crazy things with Punishers, and people were like, well, that's not, are you sure? And is it confirmed? I was right. Thank you. So M9G8. Okay. What does that say there, Marcel?
Basically just, it's actually a little bit of a change. Not clarification, but basically says that when you're using this, the ability to target a friendly ship, you are in fact targeting an enemy ship. So you treat your ship that you're targeting as an enemy. Where this comes in handy is in Bodhi Rook. If the ship that you want to target is outside of your range 3, but is within range 3 of another friendly ship, since you are targeting an enemy ship, now it lets you kind of create some synergy with this too. So you can target a friendly ship that's on the other side of the board, as long as it's flying with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look here at Hotshot Copilot. It's a clarification mostly, an understanding that the requirement to spend the token, the focus token, when being attacked when attacking or defending against somebody who has Hotshot Copilot, you can spend that token anytime during that attack or instance of defending. So that can be to modify your dice, your focus results to evades or hits, or to do something like calculation or weapons guidance or anything else that we would have in the future that says you can do that during the attack modify dice step. So pretty easy there. Andrea, what about feedback array?
Yeah, so feedback array seems like it's a little bit of a clarification and just reiterating that you cannot use this card when you're on an asteroid or if you have a cloak token. But otherwise, you can use feedback or array anytime, even if you have a blinded pilot crit. If you're touching, it's fine. It's not counted as an attack. So the only circumstances where you can't use it is if you're on an asteroid or if you have your weapons disabled or if you have a cloak token. Otherwise, you're good.
So, Marcel, what about Gunner?
So Gunner is just kind of an in-your-face kind of moment for who was the one that created this?
This is Andrew Knuckles. This is his fact entry. Knuckles. Good job, yep. Andrew.
So this is targeted at one person. Basically, created the combination of using the IG-88B and Gunner combined to be able to take three shots. Well, three shots, but one of them missing, with the caveat that one of them missing. So basically saying that when you take IG-88Ds and you pair it with IG-88B and you shoot and you miss, when you trigger the IG-88B's ability on the other ship, which will at this point really can only be a slaver, that it you can shoot, but it's not your final shot like the gunner. You can shoot with your secondary cannon, and then after shooting with your secondary cannon, you can take a third shot with your primary using gunner, and at that point, you're done. And Knuckles used it with Bossk to do a whole lot of damage with Mangler cannon, and before Dion forgot to hit the record button, we had this big old thing where we don't know if it's Lass or Avalo, but I'm saying that the Hound's Tooth that has the 180 cannon arc is probably the best one for this, because you can put heavy laser cannon or you can put something else and you get more use out of it. And they're both pilot skill 6, so you get some of that benefit of who moves first. And I think there's just a little bit more synergy there. You're giving up Bossk's ability and a one pilot skill, but I think you're saving some points. You get to move at the same PS, and you get to trigger the ability from a bigger range. You basically double your trigger radius.
But I would argue that you're giving your opponent the opportunity to get into range one, and you don't get to do your shenanigans anymore.
Yeah, then
I was listening to the Minox today, and D said one thing that kind of stuck to me. There's normally going to be two opinions or more. But there's always a right opinion.
Okay. I just know that he put a lot of work into the list and settled on Mangler Cannon. So, I mean, you could argue with his, like, 100-something games of testing and figuring it out. But, sure.
There's definitely some logic to that statement.
I get it, though. I mean, I think that's just another way to go about it. All right, so let's take a look at guidance ships. Guidance ships basically clarifies that if you are a 3, if you have a weapons value of 3 or higher, you must change it to a crit if you're going to use guidance ships. You cannot do it to a hit instead, even though the way the paragraph reads on the card sounds that way. But we're just going to continue. I don't agree with that. That's probably one of them that bothers me the most. It's like, ugh, come on, that's not how it reads, but okay.
Yeah, the English language definitely does not agree with this ruling.
Let's clarify, because yesterday again we had a long conversation about what it means for lightweight frame. So, Dion, exactly, what does it mean if you have lightweight frame?
All right. So, in regards to Palpatine,
no, it's just Palpatine that it matters.
Yeah. So, it matters for Palpatine. So, on Emperor Palpatine, if you are flying a ship with lightweight frame, you have 2 points in which to trigger his ability. Either when you're, let's say you have an SF, right? That's being attacked by a 3-3 attack ship. You roll your first, or before you roll your first two dice, you can choose to Palpatine. If you do, you can only affect those two dice. If you choose not to Palpatine when you roll the first two dice, before you roll the separate third dice, you can declare Palpatine. If you declare Palpatine on that single extra dice, that is the only dice you can change. You cannot go back to the previous dice pool, which is how they're looking at it, the previous dice pool, and alter those. You can only do either the first two or the last one. So Dead Man Switch, I want to take this one mostly because I think it sets a really cool precedent. And it's basically saying that if you fly a ship with Dead Man Switch off the board, if any part of the ship is still on the board, you can trigger Dead Man Switch and measure from the part of the ship that is on the board. So what this sets precedent for is Scavenger Crane. So if a ship flies off the board, and now, of course, this is not specifically in the FAQ, but if any TO that is worth his salt will look at this and say, well, this FAQ has told us that if a ship flies off the board, as long as it's still measurable on the mat, any part of it, even if it's the tiniest corner, things that trigger when other things die and need to measure to them can do it, such as Scavenger Crane.
You see, there is one problem with this that I don't like, that I wish there would have been an additional red text somewhere, which is the useless Chewbacca. I think if this applied to the useless Chewbacca, it would have been... I mean, nobody would use useless Chewbacca, but when I'm talking about useless Chewbacca, I'm talking about the Force Awakens ones, obviously.
Just because you keep calling it useless doesn't mean it's actually useless.
But it is still useless, because in this case, even if you fly off the board and you have a piece left on the table, it works for everything except Force Awakens Chewbacca, because Chewbacca specifically states on the card you can't use this if somebody flies off.
I wish that they would not have put that on there, because that's a really desperate strategy if you need to get that extra shot. Like, why not give somebody that opportunity to fly a ship off the board and get another shot? Let's go cluster mines, Nate.
Basically, when you use cluster mines on Minefield Mapper, you can't separate the circles into three separate little circles. They have to be together. I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things that was kind of obvious to me. I didn't know. I guess they had to just spell it out, kind of like that whole you can't use the IG-2000 on Tyre Aggressors thing. Like, they had to spell that out for some reason.
Because people will use it and break it?
Yeah, I don't know. People tend to read things the way that they want to just because it suits their purpose sometimes.
Chris so. Allen. Great.
Yeah, it's the Crate's fault. So at Gen Con... this question came up and he asked Frank about it, because with Minefield Mapper, it says to place the tokens on the board, not to drop them. And on the reference card, it says when you drop them, this is how you set them. So he was saying, hey, can I just do whatever I feel like it? So the answer is no. Anyway, Ron, what about he was just on Rebels.
Visago basically says that when you place another upgrade using his ability, that it has to be a legal upgrade. So you can't put a scum-only upgrade on a non-scum ship or a small ship only to a large base ship. And also when he's used to replace a cloaking device, the effect of cloaking device stops if the ship has a cloak token. That token is discarded.
No, the token is not discarded.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Not discarded. I apologize. There's a not.
The text to roll for it goes away. Like, you don't have to roll for it anymore. Like the eyeball. That goes away. Boba Fett, where, Ron?
Oh, gosh. Boba Fett. What? A whole lot of text. Basically, it looks like they're saying with Boba Fett that when his ability is used to discard a card that references another card, the corresponding card no longer affects. So, for instance, if you use Boba Fett to get rid of the ghost title, and there's a ship with the Phantom title still equipped, the Phantom will do nothing because that Phantom title directly references the Ghost title, and the Ghost title's gone.
Yay. So this is the... Marcel was right.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I was actually right first at Hoth Open when we argued this point, but...
Well, yep. I think you were...
I was the judge.
Yeah.
I was there.
Oh, snap.
Fair.
I was a judge. What were you?
It also notices that when Boba Fett is used to discard things such as Exhumunitions, Jabba the Hutt, any ordinance tokens that were placed are still there.
Then the advanced targeting computer basically brings us back around to the targeting synchronizer effect. So just saying that, you know, I'll just read it here. It's easier than explaining it. So a TIE Advance equipped with advanced targeting computer needs to have a target lock on the defender in order to use the ability. The TIE Advance cannot use a target lock on the defender from a friendly ship equipped with targeting synchronizer for this requirement, nor can it spend that target lock if it uses the ability of targeting advanced targeting computer. So, there you go. All right, we've gotten to the ships. The ships. Sunny Bounder. What about that, Nate?
What's it say? His ability can trigger after re-rolling any number of dice, including zero dice. For example, if defective allowed Sunny to re-roll any number of dice, such as spending a target lock and zero dice were re-rolled, Sunny may add one matching result. Sunny Boulder's ability triggers before the effects of heavy laser cannon resolves. So if you get Nate, like...
Sounds like he should be doing like voiceover for...
That is my dream job. I want to be like a voice actor. I feel like I have a million different villains I can do.
Something like really boring.
No, I hate you.
Well, it's a compliment. Oh. You're making something boring interesting. Come on now.
Sunny Boulder is fun and wholesome.
Sunny Boulder, for those who are having trouble in bed, do you just not feel the same Sunny Boulder as you did
move
before?
Move on, we're moving on.
Dengar basically still does his thing, even if Biggs does his thing.
Yep.
Straightforward.
I mean,
yeah, pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. If you have Biggs and you decide to use Biggs is a one-time ability, well, Dengar still attacks the dude that attacked Dengar. He doesn't attack Biggs.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dash. Okay, I'll take this one. So, they just added this little or before executing a maneuver. So, the whole Anyway. The entry for this ship says, when declaring a barrel roll or a boost, or, this is the new text, or before executing a maneuver, Dash Rendar must choose whether or not to use his ability before measuring if he would overlap an obstacle. So, here's the thing. Every Dash player at the competitive level is just going to start the game and say, Dash's ability is always on unless I let you know that it's not on.
Yeah, and every opponent has the legal right to be not say yes, just say whatever. And just let it go on until it means something and they end up on a rock and they say, nope, you didn't call Dash's ability. You're on a rock. You can't action. You can't shoot.
Roll for the dice.
And I'm going to roll for the die and I'm going to kill you. And it's completely legal. And I love it and I hate it. And I love it because I'm not a Dash fan. I've never been a
So
this is so stupid.
It's going to create a bunch of jerks and a bunch of rule mongering and a bunch of just hate.
How did this get into the fact? Like,
why do you have to say?
Did they just look to make things dumb and complicated?
It was something that was very simple and everyone kind of accepted for the last 3 years that they were just like, yeah, let's make it complicated. It's like, no, everybody knew it.
It does open the door for an alt art card for Dash Rendar that has a little button in it and it lets a sound that says using ability. So every time that you're gonna move Dash, you just hit your button.
Oh my god.
Using ability.
Is this gonna be the first electronic alt art card or
hey it's necessary.
Hey, FFG.
You gotta save your vocal cords.
The biggest thing we have to understand is one tool that a Dash player has because the ability says may is that they can say, I want to turn my ability off and attempt the barrel roll to the left to make sure I don't land on the rock. Hey, it would land on the rock. my ability was off, so I don't get to do that barrel roll. That's just a tool that Dash has. Is that, like, super-duper good and kind of busted? Sure, yeah, it's great. But it's there. So that, I think the reason why this, the reason why this exists, this little entry text, was is just making it clear that
you have to call it.
Right, they want you to call it in order to make that part understandable. But what we're going to do is we're going to make a Gold Squadron alt art where it says on one side dash on and the other side says dash off, and you just flip it.
No, I want the sound effect.
I don't have.
I'm just channeling the Karate Kid right
digital,
now.
Digital, like birthday cards that talk. We don't have that.
We have a voice actor here.
Dash render on. Dash render off.
Condition cards. There's a clarification on condition cards saying that when. Additionally, it says on the bottom here. So additionally, if a card was assigned from Kylo Ren, since the action was still resolved, another action cannot be chosen. So that means if I choose, I'll show you the dark side on you. And I say, I'm going to show you the dark side. And you look through your deck and you're like, hey, there's no pilot crits. My action is wasted.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it doesn't work like target locks where you're like, oh, target lock. Oh, you're out of range. I get to choose another action. No, it doesn't work that way.
I don't think
as soon as that deck is picked up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm. They add a little clarity to feedback, or sorry, to blinded pilot crit, saying that you can, you cannot trigger feedback array when you are blinded.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just a little sec. Right, yeah, with a new one. And they show the new picture there. Then there's just this little section with rolling and re-rolling. This was put in there just for clarification, because there's a lot of rolling of dice in our game, obviously. Ron, you want to read that down for me, please? Right, because I saw all these kind of questions coming up, like, well, if you had a cock die, and you have to re-roll it, is that a re-roll? Right, there's all these just like people getting cute with the wording. Right.
If I re-rolled a die, does that mean I've rolled a die? Can I shake the dice in my hand and let one fall out? But if it's like the, you know, kind of thing I like, can I leave it there and dispel the rest of them?
Nate, you don't have any say in this. You use the app.
But so what happens if I drop my app on the ground?
Oops. Wouldn't it automatically reroll because it has like the motion sensor?
It does a motion sensor. I think there's a way to turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm going to just, as you know, I can hack my app. Because I totally have the knowledge and know how to hack all apps.
You heard it first. All right.
By the way, is there anyone that knows how to help me fix my computer out there? I need computer help.
All right. Here's.
You got the condition one. Destroyed ship.
Yeah. We're going to do condition destroyed ships. You know, we're going to have a little fun here, though. If you're a computer person.
Yeah.
Right, we know that the dice app was made for FFG, and they haven't updated it in forever because supposedly they don't like have the code to it, because it was like a third party people who did it. So what we want to challenge you computer people is to break the dice
app.
I want you to break it.
I'm all for it. Break it, prove it, show it, Reddit it, yep. Tweet it.
We will give you a prize. What are we going to give them if they break the dice out?
No, I haven't played in a bunch of time. I got a bunch of swag. You know what? I have plastic bigs, like 3 or 4 of them still, even though I gave away like 5 of them. I will give you a plastic bigs. That's like a $100 card.
Nobody wants bigs break anymore.
I'll give you a $100 card. Bigs is still good. We're going to get to it.
We're going to clarify. This is, I don't, we can't call it a bounty, but this is a challenge.
A challenge.
To you guys. Okay? So we're challenging you to hack the dice app and make it so that every time you roll, it rolls nothing but hits and nothing but evades.
No, crits and evades.
Crits and sure, crits and evades, nothing but that, and we will give you. Let's see.
How about a night out with Nathan Moore?
Yeah, because he's gonna be crying since he's not gonna.
I put out.
This is what we'll give you. You know what? We will buy you a silencer and a BSF bomber. One of each.
I thought you were going to take a silencer so you could, like, shoot me in the head or something. I don't know. Or shoot my dice app.
Well, they could, but I actually like that. I'm going to try to break it myself now.
Yeah, so that's the challenge. And that's, like, a $70 value right there for breaking the dice app. Oh, so, sweet. Challenge accepted. We'll post it to Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. And all the things and Reddit, and we'll have some fun with that. Because the hope is that maybe FFG can then, you know, be like, oh, wait, we should probably address this. Because if it's possible, we need to figure it out. And if nobody can figure it out, then great. Then they have it locked down. You know, we want video proof. We want video proof of you doing it, seeing your hands roll it, and all the
and
things.
And we may send out – we've got a lot of patrons. We've got a lot of listeners. We may send out someone out to just confirm the evidence.
That's right. That's right. So patrons, be ready to be militarized. And go to somebody's house and double check the dice app. All right, let's get to the good stuff here. All right, so we are now in the errata section of the FAQ, and we will start with the
conditions.
The conditions here. Wait, what? That's a clarification.
Oh,
but sure. There's a clarification that so we're not quite in the errata section. It says condition cards assigned to ships are not removed when that ship is destroyed. So specifically, it's talking about, like, I'll show you the dark side. When a ship is killed, it still has a condition on it.
But you can't move it to somebody else.
Well, you know, you can move it to somebody else if you spend the action. What happens is that the pilot crit that's sitting on, I'll show you the dark side, doesn't go away.
Oh, okay, so it sticks.
Right, it sticks around. It allows you, like, because then what happens to that card, right? If the condition would have come off.
Yeah, got it.
That's a question mark, and this is the answer now. It just stays in play.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's take a moment of silence for our fallen hero, Big Starkletter. Well, so let's actually read the Big Starkletter nerf. Okay. So it says, once per game, at the start of combat, you may choose that until the end of the round, other friendly ships at range 1 cannot be targeted by attacks if the attacker could not target you instead.
So, Biggs is once per game.
Could. All right. Biggs is one per game.
Once per game.
Okay. It's one per game. It's important to understand the trigger. So the trigger is at start of combat. Okay. So you have to make sure that you trigger that. Like, if people start rolling dice, you missed your opportunity to trigger it there.
I think they should have made this a little more hardcore and inserted once per game. If you tear your Biggs Starkletter card in half, you can use this ability.
I got plastic ones, so they don't tear very easily.
Scissors, bro. And scissors.
So, okay, let's put some drama aside, mm-hmm. and let's talk about how this is going to impact the game. Marcel, you go first.
Sure. I'll go first. It's going to impact the game in the sense that it will scare the... Good Lord, I'm going to sound like such a jerk today. It's going to scare the uncreative people who are short-sighted away. In reality, you look at Biggs, right? So every ship that is good has some kind of pillar that it banks on, right? Whether it's Jumpmasters, versatility, Miranda, you know, she's also versatility. But in Biggs's case, it's denying you the ability to choose your targets. Now, it is true that in a situation like Biggs and Cannon, where you're slowly, it's a slow grind, that list is probably dead, and you're better off switching something like Lorik or something like that, that can give it more consistency round after round. But in most situations where Biggs is part of it, the whole point of Biggs is to not let you focus in on one ship, and especially not focus in on the ship that you want to kill, and spread your damage around. So take away the ability for the opponent to decide who it's going to shoot. Now with Biggs around and happening at combat, at when you declare combat, the target locks, your actions, everything's going to be dictated on whether you believe that the opponent's going to be using Biggs or not. And then, let's say you're flying Biggs with a couple B-Wings, or let's say you're flying Biggs with Miranda. What's the Echo thing then? It was Miranda.
The Ego, Miranda, yeah. Lorik.
Yeah, so in that situation, let's use that situation as an example, right? So that situation has a lot of damage mitigation with Biggs and then with Lorik helping out and then Miranda regenerating. So there's a lot of choices to be made about who you're going to choose. So and there's a lot of hull. So let's say you're using Biggs and the opponent has the choice. Okay, I'm going to go after Miranda, but you know what? At any point, Miranda could slam away and Biggs can take one turn to, and you don't know when that's going to be, one turn to really suck in all the damage, let Miranda regenerate and run away. Or if you start going after Lorik, you're going to spend a whole bunch of time trying to get after Lorik because he's very tanky with his natural evade. And then when he's almost going to die, hey, guess what? Everybody's going to live one more round because Biggs is just going to take all that damage in that one turn. And then now Biggs still served the purpose of spreading damage around and not letting you focus fire on one target. So I don't think this is such a bad thing for Biggs, for people who know how to build around not just the ability, but the threat of the ability. And I think, I know I was being kind of jerky earlier in saying people aren't creative and stuff like that. But in reality, once people figure out how much of a mind game things are, not just the ability but the threat of an ability and how powerful, it's still the most powerful ability in the game, you're basically telling somebody you're not going to shoot who you want to shoot, you're going to shoot who I tell you to shoot, and you're doing that in the most critical moment of the game when it's most necessary. So I as you can tell, I'm passionate about it. Biggs is not dead. Biggs just needs to get creative.
I think it is a little bit of a decent nerf to Biggs. I agree with Marcel that the highest skill players will still find a way to use him. I just don't think he's going to be the crutch piece that he has been. He's really been a crutch piece for a lot of players, where you start a list with Biggs, and then you add around him. I think it's a fine nerf. It opens up the light side rebel metagame to different lists, maybe. I still think you're going to steal a lot of the same good ships, but it definitely is going to encourage people to fly their ships a little more creatively. You're not going to just tank up and go one forward or hard two the whole game and go in a circle or a K-turn back and forth. So I'm a big fan of that.
Andrea?
Yeah, I mean, concur with what everybody said. This is just going to require you to have a little bit more skill to utilize, and I certainly don't think that's a bad thing. You just take easy mode away, and we've kind of seen all this year that some of the changes that they've been making have been just that, taking away easy mode and putting skill back into the game. I think it's also going to be really good for the designers, quite frankly, because this will open up design space for them a little bit more, I think. Because I guarantee you every time they were designing a new Rebel ship, they had to think about how it interacted with this stupid card.
No, she's right. That was a big issue, is that this is a game called X-Wing, and unfortunately X-Wings have been somewhat absent from this game, which, you know, Ron has been saying for a long time. And they always say
we can't do anything because of Biggs. How is this going to impact Biggs? Just kind of like with E-Wings, like they can't really do anything because with E-Wings, because that'll affect Core and Horn. Do I think the Biggs Darklighter nerf is a little extreme? Yeah, I mean, I would have thought of something kind of like once per round, but then people would argue, oh, that's still kind
once
of...
Once per round's too
that
good.
Once per round would have been fine, because then you have to, you know...
It's too good. Yeah, it's too good.
I know. I'm trying to think of like something else would have been.
Your Fairship Rebel, you're causing Fairship Rebelness in any list. Then,
yeah.
Do I get why? Yes. Do I feel bad for the Biggs people? Yes. I mean, it was just kind of like a nice formation staple, but you know, he was from the original set. He was from Wave One, and man, has he gotten like more play than anyone else. Think about it. What ship has probably gotten the most play in like the last, like, I don't know, 5 years? Probably Biggs Darklighter.
Oh, absolutely. So, hands up.
What it reminds me of is like playing MMO games and everything. There was like a taunt, and then there was like an AoE taunt. The AoE taunt you could only use like, I don't know, once every 10 minutes. And I guess that's what it's turned into now. If that makes sense for any of those MMO people out there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, your 1 hour cooldown. You can use it once during the fight, and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much. You don't get to use it every fight, but you get to use it in those crucial moments.
Here's my two cents. Just kind of a thematic standpoint is that Biggs was the one X-Wing on the table, and now, you know, he's gone. But it does open up an opportunity for FFG to do possibly something for the X-Wing, an X-Wing buff. Not a fix, but a buff, right? Making it better. So, hopefully they have that opportunity to do that once per game. I do think it is usable, but I don't think it's nearly as usable as it was. So, for instance, in Fairship Rebels, where you had Biggs, Jess, Lorik, and Rex, it doesn't work anymore because, sure, you can do it for one turn, but then round two, you get to immediately kill Rex, which Rex is a big part of that list, making sure that you're decreasing attacks. So then once Rex dies, you start just picking it apart. It's interesting, though. One thing that this Biggs nerf does is that if you're not – how do I say this? Like, I still think the right choice, if somebody has Biggs in a list, in most times, is just to kill Biggs first so that they don't mess up your target priority later in the game. They don't mess with your choices, like Marcel was saying – in that crucial moment. So, you know what? I'm not going to give you the crucial moment. I'm just going to kill your Biggs. So, I still think that's the right choice to do it. That way, you kind of nullify his ability. Because, you know, if you really need to shoot something else, sure. Go ahead. If you have the opportunity to. But I think still killing Biggs is the right choice. The list that definitely it hurts, I think, probably the most is Kanan Biggs.
Yeah, that list is going to struck a little bit harder now.
It's I don't think it is a list anymore. I really don't.
It's not, because that's one of the ones that relies on constant absorption.
Yeah, the whole point of that was
one critical moment.
Yeah, getting Kanan more hit points and the ability to essentially roll dice, because Biggs was extension of that, and Biggs rolls dice.
Alrighty, so let's take a look. I know that you're probably wondering, well, what about the other pilot thing? We'll touch that other. We're gonna touch that one last. Let's start looking at some of the errata for the upgrade cards. So Genius has been errata. It has all new text. Like, the entire thing has just changed here. It says, after you reveal and execute a maneuver, if you do not overlap a ship, you may discard one of your equipped bomb upgrade cards without the action header to drop the corresponding bomb. So you basically can do this one time per bomb that you have. If you have extra munitions on a bomb, you can do it twice, but you're not going to do that. Bomb the generator on Nim is the biggest thing that you've been seeing, and I think this is a great nerf for this with Scum Nim, you know, because Scum Nim's strategy was to ram you and drop bombs and make you take that auto damage. But one interesting kind of insight, at least into the national metagame, you know, Scum Nim is good, but at the top tables, you were seeing a lot of Rebel Nim. And this, it's going to hurt Rebel Nim a little bit, but because what it does, it takes away the multiple spots where you can drop that bomb and keep and hold it and make sure it doesn't go off. But he, Rebel Nim, doesn't usually use that strategy of bumping and dropping the bomb. Not consistently.
That was, no, I don't think they ever intended to do the whole bump and drop thing. I think that was just, I don't know, an error, an oversight that they went, oh, that needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, it was a super, it was an older mm-hmm. card. You know, it was not in the, what, do we know what wave Genius came in?
Genius came in the wave with the Syndicate Thugs, so whenever, no, no, not Guns for Hire. Most Wanted, or just like, Scum and Villainy.
Sorry, Most Wanted. Scum and Villainy.
Yeah, Most Wanted, you're right.
So I think another thing that it does is that it opens up some more creative space in list building for the Skurks. I think we'll start seeing some other things, maybe some Skurks without the title. Who knows what Nim's going to be doing. It opens up Bomblet Generator, can kind of see like, hey, do I actually want...
Why they don't just put, other, you know, Crew. Crew is such a cool... Rebels and Scum have such good Crew. So Nim with Crew, it's not bad. So this is not a nerf at all on the Rebel side. Not at all. It's just changing the priorities, right? Because,
well, no, I would say that it's a slight nerf because it reduces the amount of spots you can put your bombs consistently.
Yes, to an extent. I will counter that a little bit and say that it's more of a change of roles versus a change of tactics, in that Miranda is your move, push, and then drop an action bomb to kill target. And Nim was your move around and drop Bomblet Generator. Now you put Bomblet Generator on your Miranda, and yeah, she's only dropping it behind her, and you also load her up with some missile or some other type of damage. And you put your extra munitions, a regular bomb, you know, a reveal bomb, plus a action bomb on Nim. Now you can still continue to do that barrel roll. Event, you know, you can barrel roll and, or you can advanced sensor, what is it called, boost, drop an action bomb and still have that ability, and then move or do a barrel roll action, drop a what's it called,
no, you flipped them, you meant reveal bomb,
yeah,
before
the reveal bomb, and then the action bomb, you can still do all of your pre-maneuver maneuvers, barrel roll or boost, maneuver first, then move, then drop your action bomb. So you still have that ability with Nim, but now you're used. Now it's limited. Now it's not every turn. You've got basically two of each. You've got two reveal bombs that you can barrel roll, move, and then drop, and then move. Or you've got two that you can barrel roll, boost, move, then drop. But that's still four bombs, and they're still auto damage because you've got Sabine on Miranda, and then Miranda still has the Bomblet Generators and then some other type of damage output. So it's, you know, going back to my Biggs rant, it's not it's a nerf per se, but it's also not it doesn't kill anything. It just makes you just get creative and you'll figure something out.
I think, again, it falls into, like, Ron's idea about they want you to actually fly well and actually, you know, think rather than just kind of, like, bump, drop, so.
Right. And so, Marcel, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I think the underlying idea of what you're trying to express is that, like, everything here is still usable because of all these things got nerfed. It's just like the overall power level went down. Like, it's like all this kind of stuff that was too good is being brought more in line with everything else. Mm-hmm. It's still usable. You just have to figure out how to use it in the new way.
And yes, 100% correct. The only caveat to that is that from what I've seen from the X-Wing community, it overcompensates. Good example is the X7 nerf, right? So the X7 nerf Now it says you can't stress, you can't bump, and still take advantage of it. So the X-Wing community as a whole overcompensated, and you hardly ever, if at all, when's the last time you saw an X-7 Defender do anything at any competitive level? It's been forever. And it's because of overcompensation. It's not because the card isn't good anymore or because the ships aren't good anymore. It's just overcompensation. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen here. Jumpmaster, the Biggs, the Sabine, the Genius, all of those things are going to be overcompensated, and you're going to see them disappear when in reality they're not bad ships, and FFG did not nerf them out of existence. The community overcompensated for what they perceived to be a hammer that's bigger than it was than it really was. Let's go back to Worlds last year. The Jumpmaster, no more Deadeye, whatever. Jumpmasters are dead. Put adaptability on them. Didn't even put, and they worked out, and they were fine. And then people were like, oh well, it's not such a bad ship. Well, let's tweak it. Let's put Mind Link. Let's do these other things. So it's just an overcompensation by the community to be. They're kind of like knee jerk reactions. And the problem with the knee-jerk reaction is when you have a knee-jerk reaction, it usually settles back to the norm. But X-Wing has a way of knee-jerking reaction and then staying in that, you know, contracted state where, you know, X-7, I think, is the best example of it. X-7 Defenders are amazing. Nobody uses them anymore.
I think that's also, too, though, I agree with you that people do that, but as far as the X7s, I also think it's just they made new stuff come out that are better than X7s, and that's another reason, too. Like, I think Nim is just better than the Defenders, and I think Miranda is better than the Defenders, especially when you came out with, you know, new tools for those two ships.
Well, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Now, Marcel, I feel like you robbed yourself of an opportunity to just prove everybody wrong because you just told everybody, hey, let's just try to use this stuff again and show how it's good. You just robbed yourself of an opportunity. Way to go.
I robbed myself or gave myself?
You robbed yourself because you're telling all of our listeners, guys, I promise you, just use this stuff and you can still win games. So instead of, like, just you doing it, and looking really cool, you're just making everybody look cool. So thank you for your coolness.
Well, you are welcome, community. You are more than happy to... You know what? Actually, I'll counter that. So now, I'm not putting the pressure on myself to take one of these nerfs and win with it. I'm saying, if anybody wins with any of these nerfs, I'm going to take credit for it because I called it. I inspired it.
There you go.
So,
there
today, you go. October 31st, 2017...
Happy Halloween, by the way.
Oh, true. People.
hour something in. Anyway, so since Marcel was talking about bombs, advanced slam nerf. Andrea, can you please read that?
Yeah, so basically they're just clarifying that after you perform a slam action, and again, don't overlap an obstacle or another ship, you can perform a free action that's in your action bar. Can't just do whatever free action you want. You have to perform one that's on your action bar.
So specifically, you cannot drop action bombs. So no slamming and then dropping a bomb, which it was a big tool for Miranda. Mm-hmm. And now it brings the power level down and gives you more spots where you can be on the board and be safe from a bomb, which is good. Mm-hmm. Which is good. It gives people more opportunity to play. Atani Mind Link has been limited to 2. It's just, you know, we get it. I mean, a lot of the squads that were using Atani and doing crazy things with it was in multiples of 3. We didn't really see 4 be good. 3 was the magic number, right? I don't think this kills it by any stretch of the imagination. It just makes it not as good, right? So... Right, it's okay. Like I'm working on trying to find what is the best opportunity to use with 2 of them. So a couple of ideas that I'm rolling around is which we played we tried to play and then my internet went out the other day, Marcel, was 2 jump masters that are mind linked and Asajj. So that's something I'm looking at. So to put one, use one to barrel roll and have the other one get the focus. Or put one in the way in where I know it's going to get a block because it has intel agent and have that one focus and then the other one can target lock. You know, just having two ships be able to play off of each other. Something I don't think we'll see. I don't think we're going to see Inaldra anymore. She was the super cheap Seek Interceptor where you would put her in Dengar Fen Inaldra lists. We're not going to see that anymore because now you're paying, this comes out to something like 14 points, I believe, where you're paying 14 points for one extra focus token. Two extra focus tokens? Worth it. The ability to like de-stress you know, any one of three ships and focus, that's a big deal. Bringing it down to two, I think it's fair with the 1 point cost. We just have to find the way to make it the best. And one thing I'm looking at, honestly, this might sound kind of funny. I'm looking at Dengar and Manaru because Manaru can pass Dengar another focus and get a focus back. So you're getting this pseudo, you're getting an extra focus. And I think Manaru is going to be a Manaru plus something else is going to be where you see two mind links used the most, because you have the ability to generate an extra focus
token. I disagree, and it's something that I flew. Did I fly it against you? Maybe. Something that I flew twice already at Vassal, and I was able to beat a Dengaru with it. It was a Dengar Nimgar, before the nerfs when all the things were still viable were Guri. I flew with Tweak. But anyway, it's Guri, Ultrarok, and Fenrau, or things with Guri. So I had Guri and Ultrarok linked, and then Fenrau with a push to limit. And what that allowed me to do, and I won that match, I think like 100-0 or something. What that allowed me to do was take Guri and just basically go straight at somebody with Guri and target lock, and then I can do the same thing with Ultrarok. Just come right in, get to the range one where we want to be, target lock, and then Guri's ability will create that focus, and then with fire control system, you get target lock and focus with both ships pretty easily. Especially if you put advanced sensors, then you're not getting the target lock from Guri, but you can always guarantee that initial focus for both Ultrarok and then push the limit Fenrau. I think everybody knows has always been good. There's nothing wrong with PTL Fenrau. There never was, there never will be, and now with some of the nerfs to the bombs, they're a little bit more viable. He's a little bit more viable.
Guri?
He's a show. It's actually a robot that looks like a girl.
Fenrau. Okay, so Fenrau dude is much more viable again with push the limit. So anyway, so that's the list that I've been playing with. With Guri, gives you a free focus at range one. Ultrarok, but you can swap Ultrarok with something else that you like. And then whether it's Fenrau with push the limit or whether it's Asajj with, you know, whatever else you put in Asajj. I don't think Mind Link is dead. I think it's situational, but good. And also on two ship lists. I mean, why not put them on Brobots? What's wrong with that?
Okay. Gen Con 2016, I got beat bad by Advanced Sensor Atani Mind Link Brobots. It was crazy. And my head was spinning after that game. So, I think it's viable. So, Marcel, you said you disagree with me. You don't disagree that it's going to be good. I think we both said that it has a possibility to be good. You just think it's going to be – you think it might go in a different direction than I do. Like, what's going to be the best?
Yeah, I think people pair it differently, but it's still
– fair. You're putting your hat on a Star Viper, and I'm putting mine on a Jumpmaster.
And I think the Minox earlier today put it on Kalop. So we'll see.
There you go. So, well,
here's the thing. At least there's now the death of what was it? Six jump masters with a tiny mind link and epic.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Let's take a look at the Jumpmaster. Marcel, do the honor, sir. What is the errata to the Jumpmaster?
A lot of text on this one. The upgrade bar loses 2 torpedoes and a droid.
Salvage astromech.
Yeah, a robot.
Upgrade icons.
Just like that.
You probably have seen the memes. Get your hole punchers and just punch them out.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Just punch them out. And from the way we've been talking, I think we're alluding to the fact that we still think Jumpmasters have a place. We're trying to figure it out. What is the best? What's going to be the thing to just say, hey, look, these ships are still great. And Marcel, you hit on it earlier. It's because even with only now having only, right? It's all of them still have the EPC. All of them still have the crew and illicit. It still has tons of options because as a ship, and modification. I was right. There you go. And a title. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm trying to ramp it up.
And yeah,
It's a great ship. It's a great chassis. Dengar is still going to hit like a truck. And I think the Contracted Scout and Manaru have a higher place in the meta as Bumpmasters and Manaru as some type of support ship. Tell Trevera I am not sold that it's going to do anything great by itself now because it was really using itself as a torpedo boat. And it didn't really have any other uses. That's my opinion. But, we still think the Jumpmaster is well and alive, yeah?
Well, I think they decided that they really wanted to go with, like, getting rid of the astromech. I thought that was fine. It was the missiles that was really, like, making them...
I think because the astromech was... with the R4 Agromech and the combination of K4 Security Droid and Unhinged, I think those two specifically gave the Jumpmasters a little bit too much.
Yeah, and you combine it with the Mind Link, and it was just... crazy action.
Well, yeah, but now that you've killed Mind Link,
but you haven't killed it. But only run 2 in Argo Aftermech. It's still really good.
Yeah, it's still too good because you get focus, target lock, and then you also get Unhinged and K4. You get automatic target locks. It's just
yeah, but you don't get the missiles anymore.
No missiles, but you know 3 dice.
Yeah, but so it's a 3 dice ship and a 2 dice ship, so it's like eh. So.
No, wait, no, don't that. You get 3 of them and they start blocking you at range 1.
Let's go around the table and I'll end up. But let's start with Nate
and
say, what is the future of the Jumpmaster? And then we'll go around the table.
Oh, I don't know Jumpmasters. You guys know Jumpmasters better than me. I just know, like, because I'm an outsider looking in, I just go, well, yeah, the missiles was the issue. You get rid of those. And I'm like, oh, but yeah, let's say you have 3 Jumpmasters without missiles, right? Okay, so you got 3 2-dice throwing ships with stuff. To me, that's less threatening than 3 of them with missles.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. But I'm just saying, though, that, like, you know, you could give them an astromech, and I'd be like, okay, that's fine, that's fair. It doesn't, like, the main meat of it was the Atani and the missiles, right? With a, Astromech was like a bonus thing. It helped you make that efficient. But like getting rid of the missiles, reducing Atani, that was enough, I think. Like you could have left him with your Astromech, especially something like Dengar. I thought like the Dengar title was going to put back on like an Astromech or something. Or I don't know. I felt like that was fine. So. And I'm not even like, you know, a big Jumpmaster player. I just was like, it's fine here. I don't know. You guys are the Jumpmaster experts. You tell me.
All right. So who's next, Dion?
I am.
Go for it.
I'm going to just directly rebut you, my friend.
Rebut me. Rebut me really hard.
I will. So, Marcel called the Jumpmaster, you know, versatile. The problem with the Salvage Astromech slot is that it just gave the Jumpmaster so many options. And just saying like, okay, I could, you know, Dengar. Let's pretend they left the droid on, or they gave it back with the thing.
Okay.
The K4 and Unhinged, that interaction is just way too strong. It allows you to cover way too much of the board and still be able to have target lock, basically target lock focus every turn if you have expertise, right? Mm-hmm. It just with reducing that, now you can still put K4 and it's still great, but now it's only straight up to the two and the banks, you know, the stuff to the left. It just gives you more options to be able to combat Dengar, and it gives Dengar less options in order to constantly be hitting you for four hits. Again, bringing down the power level. Dengar, all of these ships are too good. Marcel and I played a ton of R4 Agromech. That card by itself is just bang. I could feel it. I knew that it was abusive because every single turn I would just end up with target lock focus. I'd get my guys in range one, and it's three dice every turn from two to three ships. That's going to be three hits every time. It's too good. It was too good. And I'm okay. Like I feel that this is the correct choice to take off the salvage astromech, because now the other players have more choices to play against it, more chances. And it allows other ships that would have just died to Jumpmasters just be able to have a little bit more of a chance.
They're not going to steamroll over everything, and they're not gonna take they're slowly moving them to a lower entry level to be competitive. So before, when they first came out, a new player that hadn't really played a lot can become competitive with it. As the nerfs or as the changes happened, you need to become a little bit of a better flyer in order to be competitive with them. But they still had a low floor. They still had a low entry level to be competitive. And this just takes the floor a little bit higher. You have to be a little bit more creative. You have to be a little bit better to use these ships effectively. The majority of the ships will now be a support ship to somebody else. It's not, you're not going to see the quintessential three jump master list because of the damage output. Anyway, I'm going to... Anybody? Ron, Andrea, Fiona, want to say anything else before I jump on this one?
I think it's a good fix because I think the ship's just been way too efficient and too cheap for so many upgrades for so long. I still think there are going to be good players. They're going to use a handful of these from time to time in their lists. They're definitely going to be competitive ships. You still get a very cheap ship with three upgrade slots that has one of the best dials of the game and has barrel roll. To me, that's still plenty good enough. It brings the power level down. Out of all the nerfs, I think some people are going to be surprised how many, like Marcel was saying, how many of these ships are still going to be at the top tables consistently. I just think we'll see a few more new ships creep in, which is a good thing.
So, before we started the whole cast, before we started recording, I was talking about just kind of a chip I had on my shoulder a little bit. So when this FAQ happened, I started getting a bunch of notifications on my Facebook, right? And notifications as far as like somebody tagged you in a post. I'm talking about literally at least 100 of them. And it was... basically, people saying like, oh, I can hear Marcel crying right now. Oh, I can hear this. Blah, 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 blah. It just kind of irked me a little bit the wrong way in that it's like a one-trick pony. Like, people who have only seen me fly these ships at Worlds or, what was it? Just Worlds, and that was actually really all it. No, because Gen Con I flew them, but it wasn't just the triple jumps.
Well, that's they're still kind of putting that all in.
I guess they're putting it together, I guess. But yeah, it's just kind of like a, you know, it's kind of a little jab, like it's sort of, I think, what did I say, a one trick pony, and
yeah, that they're calling you a one trick
exactly,
pony,
exactly. And you know, they don't take, you know, the Ohio regional or some of the local tournaments that have been with Rebels and Imperials and all that other stuff. I actually won my first store championship with Lieutenant Colzette and Wampa, which is a great combination. You push a damage with Wampa and then you crit it with Colzette. Anyway, I lost track of that. That just irked me the wrong way. I think I just wanted to kind of get off that, just because I keep getting it over and over and over again on my on Facebook. And I think Dion, you said earlier today, the Monarchs, D was like, "Oh, I feel for Marcelo right now." Blah blah blah. I ain't scared because this is a change of tactics. It's not a nerf. That's the way I see it. Now, where I'm kind of stuck a little bit is, Dion, you saw a list I put together yesterday, and we were flying it yesterday or 2 days ago, and we were flying it for funsies with triple jump.
Yeah.
And yep. Just trying. So I'm kind of stuck between, do I want to keep being known as the triple jumps dude and take these three ships? I would say, quite certain that I can take it to a top table, whether I can win a regional or something like that. Though at that point, there's just so much luck involved, and there's so many other good players, so many good lists. You could never guarantee anything like that, but you can probably be consistently out of cut, right? That's what good players do. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that triple jumps, I can load them up a variety of different ways, and three jump masters, three scouts to be specific, I can take to a top cut. I'm not worried about that. The question is, do I do that and just continue to be the, like, oh, he's just jump master, that's what he's good at, or do I just completely dump it and go with something else? But at that point, if nobody else flies three jumps into a competitive scene, then, you know, it's like, oh, FFG nerfed jumps and they're no good anymore. So I'm kind of stuck in between. Do I back the backing queue, or or do I just go with the flow and go with something new? So I'm kind of at a,
well,
kind of divide there at a crossroads.
I know you, Marcel, and I know you not to be a one trick pony. I've seen you fly a myriad of different things. So this whole idea that you only know how to fly and you only do well with one thing is one that's crap and it's not true. So that, get out of that whole mentality. You're gonna fly stuff. You're gonna have fun with stuff. You'll, like, if you want to fly the, like, you know, something the same ish, if you want to fly something different ish, you're still going to do well regardless. So,
and here's the thing: in all the tournaments that you flew jump masters, you flew them because you honestly thought that it was your, like this is the best list. Like, I know that this is the best list, and I'm going to do great with it.
No, actually, I didn't. I actually thought that the.
At Worlds 2016, you weren't 100% sure, yes, because of the practice nights, right, before. Yeah, I get that. But I'm talking about after that.
No, even then. Remember when I flew regionals? Remember I was flying Quick Draw, Riad, and what's the other one? Quick Draw, Riad, and
Omega Leader.
No, Backdraft.
Backdraft.
Backdraft, yeah. With that list up to this date, I still have it recorded on my phone. I have 28 wins and 2 losses. I've only lost twice with Quick Draw, Backdraft, and Riad. In my opinion, that's the best list I've ever flown, better than this. So no, it's not.
I think if you played against yourself, you would, like, with the old jumps at least. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true. But.
Probably not. But I'm just saying, I flew these because I actually think they're fun ships. I like the. You know, people are going to hate it for it, but I like the ability to just piss people off and block them and just tell them, no, you're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what I tell you to do. So that's why I fly them.
All right. Well, yeah, so that's the fact. We went through a lot of stuff there. And if we have had some listener voicemails and texts and things about the fact, and we're not going to do it on this episode. We'll do, like, a little bit of a bonus episode thing to release later, just because we're running low on time.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
Yep. One special prize. I'm gonna give it up. The Captain Oiken van that crashed into Pastimes. That's gonna be one of the regional prizes. So come and get your Captain Oiken Gold Squadron exclusive there. I'm excited about that. Yeah, and then we're waiting on FFG to tell us about the system opens, even though from recording today, I think it's something like 2 weeks away, the Mandalore open.
Is that the one?
We don't know when the other ones are. Yeah, that's the one in Philly. So we don't know what's going on there. But yeah, so we'll wait and see, and hopefully we can see you guys at our regional and these other premier events. We look forward to seeing you. Marcel, myself, and Nate, we travel to a lot of the events, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Yep.
And say that again?
I said yep.
Yep.
I think we're doing four regional. It sounds like four regionals and the Outrider, right? That's what we're on the hook for over the next few months.
Yeah, next couple months. And, you know what? That's perfect. Thank you for reminding me. Outrider Cup, they have pretty much finalize the date. They're going to be doing January 20th. Maybe you've never heard of it. It's a team event run by Ryan Fleming. He was his brainchild. And the idea is that you have six people on your team, and round one is epic, and round two and three is not. And there's all these like special rules, and we could talk about it at a later time. But we're super pumped about it. And once we get more information about how many more teams are going to need, we're going to help them out and give them a little push there. But we will have a Gold Squadron team there, and we're looking forward to playing that because I know I had a great time last time. There's this really great matchmaking system, and a lot of team tournaments have popped up around the country that basically copy or modify the Outrider format, and they'll say like, yeah, we just blatantly stole this from Outrider. Outrider's the original, so come out to the original one. And this year
is Outrider Kentucky. Invitational, or is Outrider open to the public?
It's open to the public. Okay. Open to the public. So let's close this out, guys. If you want to watch live X-Wing events and content, go to twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast and follow us there. We also stream via YouTube if you prefer that. You can also watch our video replays on our YouTube channel. Just search up Gold Squadron Podcast. Lastly, if you enjoy the show and want to help us continue expanding our content while getting awesome swag, go to patreon.com/GoldSquadron and get the hookup. And so for Marcel, Ron, Andrea, and Nate, my name is Dio Morales. Gold Squadron, out.
Wait, don't get shot anymore.
No, don't tell the people about, oh man, you told them.
Yes, bullets are bad.
All right, bullets are bad. You'd be interested. So if you made it this far, welcome. This is definitely one of our longer episodes of late. Ron and Andrea, you are officially off the hook, so if you guys got to go, we get it. I get it. Unless you want to hear the story of how I got shot at on, what was it?
Sunday.
Was it Saturday?
Where the hell Sunday. Did you
live? Damn, I didn't hear this one.
Live in Humble Park or something? Okay.
I do not.
Humble Park isn't as bad as it used to be.
This is true. It got bought up by a lot of the yuppies. Anyway. So I was taking my dogs out pretty late. Marcel and I, so this is actually how the day started, or the night started. Marcel and I were playing on Vassal, and my internet cut
out.
And
I was flying triple jumps, and I beat Sozin with it. Yeah.
Right, and I was testing the double jumps and Asajj list. And my internet goes out. I'm like, crap, Marcel can't play. So I was like, well, I guess I'll take out the dogs earlier than I usually do. And all this stuff, just get ready to bed and go to bed earlier than I was planning on to. So I go outside, taking the dogs outside. Then as I'm letting them inside, I hear this ruckus in front of my house. And I was like, what is this? And it sounds like guys, they're talking louder and louder and louder. And as I'm walking out of the gangway and I get to the gate, there's three men. One is standing basically on my grass. A second is standing underneath a light post where the street signs are, and the third is climbing the light post, trying to rip the sign off of the light pole.
Like the street sign, or?
The street sign, yeah. So, and he gets it down. It kind of cracks off. The other one is bent already by the time I get there, so I guess they tried it with the other one, and it didn't work. But they were able to rip this one off, And they see me, and they have a oh crap reaction, and they run to their car, and I'm obviously like, oh my god, they just ripped down my street sign and broke the other one. I'm gonna take down the license plate like a good citizen, right? So as they're driving away, I basically walk into the street behind their car. And one thing that's kind of funny in the situation is that the lights for their license plate were super bright. So it was very clear. I got like every single number. I called the police. They have all the stuff already. But anyway, so as I basically go into the center of the street.
How do you know they're not nerds and listening to this?
I'm sure they're fine young gentlemen.
I'm sure. Okay. If you guys listen to Gold Squadron podcast, what the hell? Why did you shoot at me? Anyway, as they're driving away and I'm looking at the license plate, I see one of the guys lean out the window, draw a firearm, and begin to shoot at me. So I get low and run into my gangway. And then I'm oddly calm. I'm like, okay, that just happened. I'm fine. I'm not dead.
Yeah, bad.
Did that really just happen? Yeah. Say that again.
Yeah, like how? Like, I'm just like wondering, like, what his aim was like. If he's just like just randomly shooting in your direction, or
oh, he was obviously bad. Yeah. He was obviously. Thank God he was bad.
Really.
Thank God he was bad. And then like I came inside and I told my wife. She was already. She had been asleep. And you know, like when you've been asleep for about 15 minutes, you're like super groggy if you get woken up. So she was in that stage. So I woke her up and I'm explaining, and she's not understanding. And in the morning, she processed what I said, and she was really upset with herself because she's like, oh my God, if you had been shot and you would have been like dead in the street, I would have never known. No, it was, you know, she was upset about it. But I'm fine.
The moral of the story, take your actions. Get the target lock and take your focus action. Don't miss.
It seems like such a bullshit ass thing to like shoot someone over. It's like, hey, I'm stealing a street sign. Hey, don't steal my street sign. Oh, I'm gonna try to shoot you now. Pop, pop. It's like,
yeah, we don't live in Chicago at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So to clarify, if you're planning on coming to the Chicago Regional, my house is really far away from Pastime. So don't. You're fine. Yeah,
we know we live in the murder capital of like the United States.
Pastime's is a suburb,
but like it's
actually
far away from everything. I've lived like in the Chicago area like my whole life, and I've never been to these really, really, really terrible places. So I know Marcel used to live there.
I'm fine. I survived.
So
that was really dumb too. Like, you should just, who cares if they knock down a sign?
I know. It's like
I was like thinking there would be reasonable normal people and be like, oh shit, we shouldn't be doing this, let's just leave.
How dare this guy like look at us?
Right. Their solution was, because I was just like dumbfounded looking at them as they're doing this, and their solution was to fire a firearm at me. Anyway. So,
didn't you ever see Zombieland, bro? Don't be a hero.
Don't. I wasn't trying. I was just trying to be like,
you were like be a good citizen, the block hero or something.
Right. I was just trying to. I give me back my sign. Now nobody knows what street I live on because it's ripped off.
No.
And I gotta call my alderman and take care of that. And anyway, so that's my drama. I'm fine.
Glad you're fine. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And like, I think that the biggest thing that I'm just confused about is that I was very oddly calm after it happened.
And do you think that you're really a Jedi and they missed because of your ability?
No, I think it's Halloween, and that now is the time that we tell Dion that he's been dead for 50 years.
The Gold Squadron podcast is actually just a figment of my imagination. It is.
You were just in a coma this whole time, and we were figments of that.